Steve Winwood and Valerie here at Classic Hits, kicking us off on this Tuesday, 30th of June, 8 minutes past 6 o'clock. Morning to you, folks. And morning to you, big man.
Morning.
What is the story?
What's
the
story, horse and all?
What's the cracker, Jack?
Ah, yeah, all good, yeah. Not
happy
bad,
days.
Eh, in the end and all there. Yesterday, I had a... Well, what could you say about it? It wasn't bad, but it wasn't exactly tremendously...
You weren't tempted, though, to sample any of the new delights that were on offer from hairdressers and barbers and pubs and... other places.
I'd rather have your fist inserted in my butthole.
Oh,
that's
God.
I
tell you something. That's uncomfortable
that's
for everybody. Wow.
But I did get a chicken sandwich.
Ah, right.
And I ate it outdoors.
It was a post-lockdown chicken sandwich, was it?
It was. It was a celebration sandwich. I have to say, it was weird going into the place to buy the sandwich and everybody sitting around at the tables.
Oh, right.
It was
of course.
So weird.
Yeah.
Like, it just... I don't know why, it was just such an unusual and unexpected thing. Considering I never shut up talking about it yesterday or during the show, why it was unexpected when it happened, I don't know, but it was.
Yeah, I didn't notice really anybody. Mind you, I didn't go anywhere to notice anybody or cafes open or anything like that.
You didn't pass any butchers as if they're cutting hair.
Well, to be honest with you, they'd get away with it with mine.
Yeah, I was.
But to be honest with you, I wasn't really anywhere where I probably would have noticed if there had been a. Like up Airway, there was two of them, I think, open, two of the pubs open. Didn't see any mad particular kind of, like, there was no, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Didn't seem like there was a mad rush on or anything, which is, I have to say, I was secretly delighted about.
Of course you were.
But of course, you know, as two of my mates on, there you go, I'm like, no.
No.
You know what I mean? Two of them. One of them, like, listen, I'm across the road, are you coming over?
I don't care where you are.
Are you going for the thing later on?
No. I'd rather have my hand in PJ's bottom, you said.
No, that's a statement. That's another statement. I will never issue that statement.
Well, look, I don't think anybody's ever going to give us that to either of us as an ultimatum, so I think we're pretty safe.
But anyway, listen, if you did, I'll tell you somebody who did. The reason I'm asking is because Damo, I think it was Damo who was on. Maybe not. Well, you know, it's Damo who was on. He says, morning, lads. At the barber's for real, pre-lockdown for myself and my son, it was €29 for the haircut.
It's a lot of money, yeah.
Okay, this is pre.
Yeah, it's still
right,
a lot
so
of
back
money.
Back in the old days. Post-lockdown, €47.
Shut off, out of where?
According to Damo. Needless to say, we won't be going back there.
Here, Jim.
Says Damo.
Take off your watch.
Listen, let us know if you did sample anybody's fare. 087-188-0008. Shakira, whenever, wherever, here at Classic Hits. What is it? Almost 14 minutes past 6. Margaret was on, just a good point actually. Said once the prices go up,
yeah,
it's not like they come back down again.
That's very true. They put it
up on the basis of like, oh, well, we've extra costs and it's extra all sorts. And then if this thing ever finishes, if it ever goes away.
Yeah, they go, well, things have changed now. I mean, you can't just go drop them back down to pre-pandemic level haircuts.
Yeah, it's like the, remember we were always saying about how the, when they, you know, the money changes and they round up.
Yeah.
Nobody ever rounds down. They round up.
Never. Even if it used to be $2.99, if it was $2.99, they never go, right, well, that's, I guess it's €2 now. Or even if it was €2.05 for something, they never go, right, better, up to a fiver.
Yeah.
Up to a fiver. Fiver's a nice and even thing. Let's go up to the fiver, yeah.
There'll be a little bit of COVID shenanigans happening, I tell you, with prices in various businesses.
Can you even imagine it, yeah. Can you
a few
even imagine it?
Jumping on the old bandwagons, all right. Anyway, listen, birthdays for you, sir, and they are far superior to what they were yesterday. Yesterday was an unusual bunch, wasn't
it?
When you're talking about Troy Deeney and Abs Breen.
Troy Deeney and Abs Breen, both of those are magicians. I still refuse to believe anything else.
Right, this is a far better and much more up your street, right? Let's kick off with Mike Tyson.
Ah, Mike Tyson.
Iron Mike himself.
Yeah, one of the hardest hitting men in the world. Maybe in the world until your man Wilder came along.
Yeah.
But like, and what a monster he was. 19 years old. Knocking out.
Yeah.
Legends.
Full-blown bulldog of a man, wasn't he?
Knocking the head off people. It's just the attitude. You ever see the documentary on him, did you? And he's talking about what goes through his head before he gets into the ring on a fight.
No, so I didn't.
It was unbelievable.
I saw a little bit of his one-man show on television.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see any of that
mad
now.
Stuff.
But it's just, what a, like, he just, you know the way he talks.
I was more impressed the fact that he could he could pull off a one-man show like him on stage on his own talking.
I'm pretty surprised with that as well, because consider, yeah. Like, a good example of that is what he used to do when he was walking into a ring. You know, they asked Muhammad Ali and he would say, you know, I would be looking at my opponent and I would be doing this, and he had all this so unbelievably articulate about it.
Yeah.
And even Evander Holyfield and Lennox Lewis, they'd be saying about what way, the complexities of that moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, what happens when the bell rings and you can only see one person in the room, suddenly it dissolves from all these thousands. And Tyson, they ask him, and in the documentary, he just says the word kill about 25 times. Kill, 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 kill. I was like, here.
Good God.
Yeah, you know, like, you know,
explains a lot.
Like a tiger in the wild, you know, looking at an old gazelle.
I mean, he already, like, I mean, he achieved a fair bit in his career, right? To be fair. But
oh, jeepers.
You wonder, like, had he not gone completely bananas, you know, what might have happened?
Yeah.
If you could have, you know.
Although he didn't. He knocked everybody out. There was one left. There was no one left to hit in the face. But he literally ran out of people to punch in the face. It was when you think about that, that's an amazing achievement in life on its own. I got to punch everyone in the face that's as big as me.
Yeah,
and
or bigger.
And he ran out of them. Yeah. There was no one left to punch in the face. And that's his
don't know if
quote.
His legacy is kind of up there. You know what I mean? For a man that...
Do you not think?
I don't know. I suppose if you want to, if you're a pure boxing fan, I suppose you can separate the boxer from the man and all that went around with him, you know what I mean?
Don't ever do that with fighters. They always disappoint you. Yeah. His best quote ever has to be, everyone in life, they have a plan until they get punched in the face. That's about it. I got to say, he's like, he'll be about 57 now.
54.
Oh, fart off life.
54, God, right.
Don't tell him I said that.
No. Say nothing. Because he's still capable of boxing somebody in the face. So Mike Tyson, 54. Right, next up, a man who was your inspiration, PJ. A man who led you to a trophy of sorts.
Yeah.
The one and only Michael Phelps.
Oh, yes, he did. The man who pretended, and a pretend is a very significant word here, to race a shark when he didn't race a shark. He raced a computer-generated what a shark may have done if it was in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
Which
inspired you to actually race a genuine pig.
Yes, in the wild, pig's environment.
Yeah, albeit a very young pig. Mind you, to be honest with you, a very young pig runs faster than a very old pig.
Very true. I am an old pig, I would know that. But I still beat the pig, and it was in...
Absolutely.
It was in, in the wild.
Did Michael Phelps
wild pigs in Ireland.
Beat this computer-generated shark?
I think, he did, yeah. Nonsense, utter nonsense. It wasn't even real. I bet a real pig.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, you're right to make a big deal out of that.
Yeah.
That is something you do have over him.
I do.
You raced a real animal.
Yeah.
He raced a computer. The only thing is, I wouldn't get too carried away, because he is the most decorated Olympian of all time.
I know, yeah.
22 Olympic medals.
Shyster. Shyster.
So, like, just, you know. By all means, enjoy your moment, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, like that means anything.
I mean, like, who doesn't have a blooming Olympic medal?
Lance Armstrong, who won 7 Tour de France's. I challenge you to race a pig.
Yeah.
And we'll see who wins.
Yeah. Okay, no problem, PJ. Just let me ring my doctor.
Yeah, Mike Tyson. Yeah, that's a... you're needle-free, thank you very much. The only one on steroids allowed to steroids is the pig.
Yeah.
I gotta say that... Michael Phelps is... he's not that old, man.
No,
he's
like, I'm kind of surprised by this.
He's just ancient for a swimmer.
Yeah.
I'd say he's like 44.
35.
Is he? Wow.
Isn't that ridiculous? 35.
Oh, my God.
And he's got 22 Olympic medals.
I know, but sure, he'd win like 7 of them in one Olympics. He just jumped into the pool and he hung around in it all day. Is there... Backstroke. Let's do backstroke.
That's incredible. I mean, I was genuinely surprised. 35.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Anyway,
and retired about 5 years, like.
Yeah. Okay, so Michael Phelps, 35. Right, what have we got? Right, Cheryl. You can call her Cheryl Cole. You can call her Cheryl Tweedy. You can call her...
Zerbinger.
Cheryl, whatever the unpronounceable one she married was.
Yeah.
Or was with.
And there was an...
wasn't there? Some French lad, no?
Yeah. She with... Gascoigne or something. French lad. Wasn't it?
Girls Aloud singer, X Factor judge, dater of various people.
Dater of all laws, loads of them.
Fond of a tat.
Fond of a tattoo.
Yeah, she's got some nice roses.
Yeah. Are they nice? I don't think they're nice, man. She turned her bottom into a... she's got a botanical knickers.
Well...
That's what she did.
Yeah.
I don't know about
I may not have paid that much attention to the tattoos.
I'm covered in tattoos, man, but her entire bottom... It looks like a cushion. It looks like somebody sewed a leatherette on.
What a cushion indeed.
What a cushion indeed. But it looks like someone sewed a leatherette down there. I'm going to say she's the same age as me, 45.
37.
Ah, for Jesus' sake, I'm ancient. I'm ancient.
Everybody's very young today.
Oh, I'm ancient. Even Mike Tyson.
Come here, this will make you feel a little bit better, right? A bit more your vintage. Former United and England footballer Gary Pallister.
Oh, yeah.
Pally.
Pally. Here, the two of the most underrated United players ever were Steve Bruce and Pallister.
Him and Brucey, yeah.
The two of them were fantastic.
Well, at least Pallister got it like an England call-up. Brucey got nothing but a very strange nose.
True. And angles on his head where he's just, I don't know where they came from.
That's a full boxer's nose, isn't it? Brucey's nose.
It is, yeah.
That's
a
full boxer's nose.
Yeah,
is.
You'd confuse him now with someone that Mike Tyson had a row with.
Yeah,
you definitely would.
Yeah.
And it never left. The damage never went away. Never went away, and he's still upset about it.
Yeah, because combination was meant to be. Pallister was meant to be the cultured kind of footballer.
Yeah,
and Brucey was meant to be the Kevin Moran-esque, put your head in where nobody else will. And obviously, when you see his nose, he did.
He did. There was a bit of that, wasn't there? And they call him Pallister cultured now in these days.
By comparison, I suppose.
You know what I mean?
Different story nowadays.
I gotta say, he's. Right, he's 45.
He's 55. But the good news is the last one is your beloved Formula One. You know the way you love Formula One, you're always going to
really
Formula One.
He's really hurting me today.
What about Ralf Schumacher?
Ralf?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael's young lad.
Michael's brother, yeah.
Yeah.
The young fella.
His brother!
Our young lad. Yeah, brother of Michael, isn't it?
I thought it was his young fella.
No, brother of Michael.
I thought it was
younger
his
younger brother, admittedly, but...
I'm surprised that them to say mother is what I'm saying.
Really? You thought he was his son? What do you think Michael is?
I thought Michael's wife was Ralph's ma. Yes, I did, yeah.
Oh, my... Not at all.
Oh, my God, they're brothers.
Even I, who barely know one end of a car from the other.
I don't know. You did this to me. I never even said I was an old Formula One fan. You decided
You said you were into engines.
Oh, yeah, I was motor racing.
Airplanes, helicopters, cars,
imagine,
bikes.
Imagine asking me about
lawnmowers. You know, they all, anything with an engine, as far as I'm concerned, you've proclaimed yourself to be an expert.
You think I'm like one of those Nordies. If you put an engine on a cat, they'd know about it. I've let myself down this morning. Though.
I tell you, you're a bit off the pace this morning. Jesus. Last chance to redeem yourself. Ralf Schumacher is.
51.
45.
I hadn't a clue, man. I thought he was like in his teens. I took a guess.
And now you're up to date on the home of PJ and Jim weekdays from 6 a.m. reminding you to stay safe and hold firm. This is Classic Hits.
Cheers, Tara. 6:32. So, look, that's impressive, isn't it? Tony Houlihan was talking about you yesterday.
He was, yeah. He singled me out.
Absolutely.
Oh, he did.
Absolutely. Those people who maybe have flights booked and reservations made, maybe in the interest of the nation, they might think again.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know if it had the same impact on Tara.
I can only imagine.
The same Tony Houlihan walked in the door and went, "Listen, Tara, come on, seriously now. Look, honestly." She go, "Leave it with me.
Let's just wait and see."
I wouldn't risk the wrath of my mother, who knows Tony Houlihan well. They used to be they were next door neighbours when he was a little lad.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is hilarious. So literally Tony Houlihan could be saying to your ma, Will you have a word
with Tara? Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'd have to listen then, wouldn't I?
That talk about a direct line, that's hilarious.
But no, seriously,
it's your ma who's ratting you out.
Maybe it is.
Tony,
ma.
Will you say something
to her?
When you go on the telebox.
She's after booking flights.
Will you say something? Because my Tara's keeps thinking she's going on holiday.
Tony Houlihan's, but it's not even true. Just tell her, will you?
No, but this is my glimmer of hope. They're booked for September. If I can't go, I can't go. That's the whole point. I bought them cheap. So if I have to lose them, I lose
them.
Yeah, it was a gamble.
In fairness, Tara did say it out the day. It was a gamble, boy. Yeah. She was having a go. Yeah,
and in fairness, you say, like, September is still
a couple of months away. Here's hoping. But look, in the meantime, sure, I'll have a little staycation at home. Why don't you? You know?
Yeah.
And that'll only cost you like 15 or 16
Oh, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Three times more than Greece.
I believe. Yeah, if you remortgage your house, I believe you get a fantastic weekend.
I might get a week in
away.
August. Yeah.
I hear the sub Irish holidays are throwing in a holiday in Greece as part of the package.
Bruce Hornsby in the range, the way it is, and Blondie with Maria ahead of that. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Thank you for that. Thank you for letting us hang out with you. 087-188-0008, and thanks for all of the WhatsApps as well. Maria's been on because, you know, that we were talking about Michael Phelps' birthday today, 35 today, which came as a shock that he was that young.
Yeah, big time. Oh, my God.
I was saying that he had 22 Olympic medals. I was wrong. Apparently, my almanac is out of date. 28.
Shut up.
Olympic medals.
Are you serious?
Yeah. According to Maria, and I did look it up, and yeah, she's right. Absolutely. 28 Olympic medals. The man is 35 years of age.
Should that even, that's too much to even fit in Paddy O'Shea's biscuit tin. That's unbelievable, isn't that?
That's
like,
incredible
what an
stuff.
Unbelievable accomplishment. That is outrageous.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, among the sort of, you know, the way people, obviously the Ali's and all that, you know, people talk about the greatest, and there's, you know, the Pelés and the whatever. I mean, like Michael Phelps, in fairness, like, highly respected, but I don't know if he gets the, like, 28 Olympic
medals.
It's
just swimming isn't as popular a sport as, Showtime boxing or whatever. But that's, like, it's a, but he is a freak in nature.
That's
like, he's
incredible.
An absolute freak. I'll never forget his last Olympics when they dissected him, essentially, you know the way. They had all, they, exactly the length of his arms.
And it turned out he was a mermaid.
And he's basically a fish, man. He's amphibian. He can live on, he could live in the water. He's not really fully human. Like, it's incredible the way he's cut for water.
What a gift.
Yeah.
What a gift.
But then you have to put the work in as well, isn't he? Just say, as if I had the same length hands, I'd be off flying through
like
the water.
Yeah. It's all very well for him. Do you see the size of his finger?
Yeah, so sure, he's got flippers. You know what I mean? He's got flippers. If I put flippers on me and see how well I do.
Exactly. How fast you think. Commie Al has been on to say hello. And also, Bose Richie was on. That quote you were talking about from Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Apparently, Mike Tyson's one is, everybody has a plan until I punch them in the face. That was Bose Richie's version.
All right. I didn't think it was that. That's all right. That's okay.
What was your one?
Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah, well, basically, more or less the same thing. Give or take. Give or take an eye or whatever here. What's an eye between friends or whatever?
I don't know. Let's change. We're talking about Michael Phelps. Everyone's got a plan until they get a flipper in the face.
Correct. Let's see. Buddy Brennan's been on. Garrett the Trucker's been on today. The Wexkin, by the way, has completely lost his mind.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Look at this. Look at this for a text. Well, curse of the white mice on it. Free to sail where we wish around the country again.
What's that?
Whoop, whoop.
Oh, yeah, because the restrictions are gone. I was thinking to myself.
Look at that.
I've been looking so forward to having that restriction lifted that I was thinking, I can't wait to go for a big spin on the bike. You know what I mean?
Mm.
A decent old spin and see a bit of a Fennel field and all.
A field.
You know, something like that. And then, of course, it got lifted and I was like, I'm not really in the humour today now. I just want to go. You know, I'll get a chicken sandwich
I'll wait till the fuss dies down.
So I got a chicken sandwich instead. And I have to say, it was a good decision.
It was well worth it. Derek the Butcher checking in, Pa the Plaster, and Nora the Yank, who, by the way, was heading off to the gym before we even started the show today.
Good on you, Nora the Yank.
That's some going. Heading off to the gym. Not even 6 in the morning.
What gym is open at that time?
No idea. Let us know, Nora, will you? We'll find out for you.
It's Mike Tyson's gym.
Are you planning to go there?
She's in there flexing her flippers. Getting ready. I'm not going to no gym.
Yeah. Leonard in Limerick is on. I see Northside Tony is in there as well. And sure, there could be more. If I've missed you out, apologies on that. But 087-188-0008 if you need to give us a shout. For us today, we didn't manage to give away the $2,500 yesterday. So we're back to... What would that make?
2,600. No, 1,000. No, hold on. What am I talking about? I've lost me marbles. 1,260.
That'll do.
That's where we are. 1,260 is where we are at the hit bit. So it's still quite a lot of cash to give away.
Absolutely. Not to be sneezed at. That's on the way in an hour. And we'd a slow enough start on the breakfast table quiz. We've a great break to the Inn at Drumoland up for grabs, family break. And we only had a five yesterday.
Only had a five, so it's
slow start.
Yeah, so we can flip your way right into the leaderboard with six or more this morning.
Absolutely.
Although you probably want a few more than that, but you know yourself.
Yeah, to get you through to the end. And also, we're going to be talking a bit after 7 o'clock about the kind of things that you used to aspire to.
Oh.
Right? Nowadays, that you're the age you are or whatever, you might aspire to fancy cars. Who knows? You might aspire to bigger houses.
Maybe even a car just that works, not just a working car. That's what Jim is aspiring to this week.
Yeah. Oh my God, don't get me started.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, who knows what you know, you might aspire to big foreign holidays, but you know, when you were younger, you thought a lad who had a rally chopper was rich.
Yeah, do you know what, that's what it is. It's the little things. We'll read it out to you what we mean in a moment, but it's just the little things that you thought sort of said, I've made it in life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also something to look forward to today, the great Eric Lawler, good old friend of the show. He's back at us. What a sort of an unusual sort of a project.
He's on telly. He's doing a pandemic TV.
Exactly.
That I don't think is really. It's not like he's not playing the part of Dr. Tony Houlihan in a new six-part drama.
No.
It's more specific than that.
Yeah, we'll be chatting to Eric after 8 o'clock this morning. Looking forward to that. Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer here at Classic Hits. 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. Hit bid on the way this hour. €1,260 is what you're playing for. Didn't manage to give it away on Double Money Monday. So check it out, classichits.ie. Listen to it as often as you like. Check out the previous guesses and then let Magic Mike know if you want to play. 087-188-0008 and WhatsApp. And speaking of money, what would you do with it if you had it?
Or, what would you, what's it like? Here's the thing, right? We've all seen something when we were growing up and we thought, ooh, very fancy. Look at you and your whatever that thing is that makes you very fancy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And expensive then runners.
Yeah. That's one thing. That's actually a big one when it comes to the, you know, people that can see. Baz, you know Baz Ajmawi?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, he does actually have, I'd say, a few quid, right?
Yeah.
You know, after they have Kill Your Mammy show and all.
Yeah, if you kill your mammy 50
but
ways.
He always has the best runners. I always am very jealous of his runners. I don't know how he gets
he's
the limited edition ones and all.
A runner,
you know?
Aficionado,
he's a
is
runner
he?
Aficionado. But there's this tweet went up on Twitter, of course, which isn't an unusual place to find a tweet.
Yeah.
And this is, this sort of leads us up the road, right? My wife, it says, grew up thinking that having water or ice dispensers in the fridge door was a life goal, a sign you'd made it.
Yeah, one of those big American fridge jobs.
Yeah, big smeg fridge with all the things in on the side of it. And then this guy then says, I grew up thinking that if you had a basketball hoop with a clear plexiglass backboard, you were rich. Do you remember them? They used to be on Cribs all the time.
Yeah, that's probably
all
where that's where your man probably saw them.
Because
the ones you had in, I'm trying to think now, the ones you had in school, were they kind of, did they have the clear plexiglass back?
No, they didn't, no.
Or did they have those white backboard things?
It was the white ones with the tape on it, yeah. That was it. And never any net, just an old hoop. The net was never working. So that's the thing is, what are the things, what are some of the things you thought were great indicators of wealth when you were a kid? For me, it was a kitchen island. I'll never forget the first time I saw a kitchen island in real life.
That's an unusual one for somebody who was, you know, as a kid, to aspire to interior design features.
I didn't really aspire to it, but the first time I saw it, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
They have an island in their kitchen with a sink in it. There's a sink in the middle of the room. I didn't even think that was humanly possible. I thought a sink, if you saw the back of a sink, it would be like full of wires and pipes and stuff that could go on for days.
How do they get the water to it?
How does it go down into the ground and all without coming into the wall first? It blew my mind.
Kitchen island.
A kitchen island blew my
mind. I'd still probably regard that now as having made it.
And then Mike,
to have a kitchen big enough to facilitate an island would be amazing.
I said this to Mike yesterday, right? And he was saying, yeah, believe it or not now, for people who don't have that sort of room, you can now buy a mobile kitchen island. So it's like
you can put it in the front room.
It's a trolley.
It's one of those hostess ones.
Yeah, but again, you have to push it around the kitchen because you don't have the room. It's like, that's not
move it from
about
side to side.
I'm not talking about that. Yeah. Also, when I was in school, here's one as well, right? When Star Wars and all was the big toys.
Yeah.
We had all the figures and all, yeah? But he had, like, the spaceships. He had the AT-AT Walker. Remember the one that was like a dog? And he had the Millennium Falcon, and he had all the spaceships. And I remember thinking,
he probably was wealthy, was he?
I don't know, man, to be honest with you. But I do remember thinking, this fella has, he's living in a museum.
Yeah.
He's living in a museum. It's not even a home. This fella, there's going to be people paying to come in and look at this
house.
He's
in a toy shop.
Yeah. His dad used to work, that's what it was. His dad used to work for Apollo One, which was this old shop.
Yeah, I remember
Henry
that.
Street there. Yeah. It was on Moore Street, top of Moore Street. And his dad got all the toys when they came in there for a discount.
Man.
And that was it. It blew me mind, the stuff he had. It blew me mind. Jeez, he had an Atari and all when nobody had one. We used to just go up and look through the window at him playing it. And that's a window. We're looking in the window and playing it. The height of sophistication. Never saw anything like
that. That was like a really early version of Big Brother. You and your mates looking in your other mate's window at him just playing his you're playing with his own toys.
Yeah, asking him to move your head. Move your head. I can't see Pac-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not coming in. All right, we'll just stay out here and look
we'll
in.
We'll just look in.
We'll just watch you playing and having a good time.
Would you at least
actually, people do that now on the internet, don't they? Isn't
yeah.
that like all of those YouTube bloggers have millions of people watch them play games themselves?
In fairness, we broke the mold. We were there
yeah.
before YouTube.
You were ahead of the game.
Yeah, we just used to call it weirdos with neck curtains back then, but there's a difference. There must be some of those things to you that when you were a kid, that or even when you were a young adult, that
yeah.
saw as indicators of... What,
or absolutely, or who knows? It might still be going on. There might still be something really sort of simple like that you'd regard as being, God, you know, you've made it if you got one of them.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know, maybe to have a garage for your car, like a place to pull your car
a
in, might be a thing for somebody. Who knows?
A garage? Although I suppose so.
Yeah.
You know that. Another one for me, you've just hit the nail on the head. You know what another one for me was? My friend Rob,
yeah.
his dad, right? His dad built a garage and there was a table tennis table and all.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. But next to it...
That would have been a sort of a thing for me now, a snooker table.
Well, now you're going to be...
Because one of those ones that everybody else would have had that you just put on top of your own kitchen table.
Oh, damn.
You know what I mean? And there was never any room in your house to have a proper shot because you'd be,
yeah.
you know, the back end of the queue would be
know,
up in the air.
Yeah. And then it was no matter what way you hit it, all went into the middle centre pocket.
And the floor was never even.
Oh, you tell me about it.
Yeah.
But beside it, and here's where things get really good, out in the shed, right, table tennis table, and beside it, he had his own Guinness tap.
Oh my God, that would have been, yeah.
Man, this is back in
That's
the early
proper
90s.
Luxury,
like,
that
we
is.
Were teenagers looking at it. Well, you can put Guinness... Just you're not need training to use one of them. We were thinking you have to be trained in and all. And then he was like looking at an astronaut. It was unbelievable.
So that's what we're on the lookout for. We want to know those things that you thought were sort of really aspirational when you were a kid or growing up or whatever, young adults.
Young adults.
Maybe even now, for God's sake, who knows? But 087-188-0008, let us know if there was something like that, something really simple. Maybe it was to have an ice dispensing fridge. Or maybe it was to have a basketball hoop with a clear perspex back. Whatever it is, 087-188-0008.
Yeah, we knew a family as well that went to Greece when everyone was going to Spain.
Jeepers,
yeah. We were like, Greece!
Oh, sure, yeah.
And they had to get like...
Sure, we would have been in the era when just having a foreign holiday was...
If you got further south than West Cork, you were absolutely loaded, man.
Tasman Archer's Sleeping Satellite here at Classic Hits, 19 minutes past 7. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim, letting us hang out with you today. Thanks for all of the WhatsApps as well, 087-188-0008. As we go and search all those little things that you kind of thought when you were growing up made you wealthy or made somebody else wealthy. Stuff, aspirational stuff as far as you were concerned. Some mad things in here. Somebody's been on to say that they had a pair of Adidas Predator boots.
I knew. Do you know something?
And they thought they were the business, Dave and
Galway. I knew immediately when we started talking about this that somebody was going to bring up Predator boots. It was the beginning. Before that, all football boots were just
football boots.
The black six studs, whatever, nuttons. And then Predator came and it was changed. And they were so expensive. Oh, jeepers, they were so expensive.
The sound has been on. That's a weird telescope.
I get it.
If you had a telescope, I assume as a toy, like.
Oh, no. You know those houses? You know when you're driving past someone's house, Jim, and you look up and there's a telescope at the window?
Sticking out of the roof.
Yeah, and you're like, ooh, look at your man.
There's a really interesting one. Derek the Butcher, you probably can relate to this. If your dog had a kennel, as opposed to just sleeping in the shed or in your house or whatever, Derek the Butcher says.
I kind of know what he
means. Thought you were rich.
Yeah.
Like, for your dog to have his own house.
I kind of know what he means, but it's a bit mad when you think about it, that dogs who just stay in the house with the rest of us, as if they're looking out going, look, that man is his own gaff.
That's his own gaff.
Yeah, and then he goes to bed. You know, when the other fella's still outside, really.
Yeah. Also, somebody else been on to say a window seat.
Yeah.
Or a downstairs bedroom.
I do remember some one of them. I do remember seeing the first time I saw a seat in the middle of nowhere.
In a window.
I was like, what do you do here? Nothing. This is where you come to do nothing. I was like, I can't think of anything worse. Yeah. But it does show I've got so much space, I literally don't know what to do with
it. The other thing would have been to have an extra bathroom. Like if you had a downstairs bathroom or something back in the day. You know,
yeah.
Like to have even more, just to have more than one.
Just have more than one.
To have more than one bathroom with a house.
One for your elf and one for the family.
Actually, that was a big one, I suppose, as well. Yeah, somebody, you had a ride on mower.
Oh, stop. You couldn't have one of them in Dublin, yeah.
So where would you get a, where would you get a garden big enough for one of them?
Oh, that's what I mean. You could only see them on TV. Yeah. The only people that ever had those were TV millionaires.
You had to have a proper gaff if you're going to have one of them.
Imagine growing up. Sure, if you imagine having one of them where we grew up. You'd literally...
You'd be going around a circle.
You'd just be able to go forwards and backwards for about 2 foot.
You wouldn't even have a turning circle.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm assuming somebody's taking the Michael there saying a tap with running water and a toilet in the house. Although you never know if that was an aspirational thing.
I suppose it was.
You may be going back quite a few years.
Going back a bit, yeah.
Yeah. What else we got? Electric windows in your car.
Ah,
as opposed
yeah.
to windy down ones.
It's funny when you know when you pull up beside young ones now and you'd be like that. You know the way you do the international roll down your window sign?
Yeah. Even though nobody does it anymore.
They don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Like they've no idea what it means. You have to do this now. You do the whole, like you're waving like the Queen. Put down the window, because if you do the roly roll signal, they don't know what you mean.
Oh my God. Somebody says a plumbed in shower.
Ah, come on.
In the bath in the 60s, says Padder in Dublin. So in other words, a bath that had, you know, those showers that came out of the taps, but it wasn't one of those where the sucky
them?
On things went on
do
the taps.
Do you remember them, man?
This was a plumbed in one.
Oh, I hated them so much.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Because on the hot tap, the plasticky stuff would always kind of melt a bit and slide
and then
off.
Then it would slide off. And then you couldn't make it stay properly. Once it burnt off once, it was gone forever.
Exactly.
Oh, and they were all, and your elf would be taping it and everything. And then you weren't allowed to have a bath ever, because if you took it off, it wouldn't go on properly again.
It's scary to think we remember them.
Awful yokes, yeah.
That's a shocker.
The wriggly, plasticky, awfully rubbly, oh my God.
Alex in Kildare Town says, lads, for me, it was my parents getting in piped television. Once you got the old cable link, you'd made it. So in other words, when it stopped having an aerial.
Yeah.
And you actually got... The pipe, used to call it.
That was a big thing when the pipe came into the house.
To have the pipe, yeah.
And finally your dad was to stop screaming at you for holding the aerial the wrong way. The bunny ears, you know, leave it. You're literally doing a handstand in the corner.
Yeah.
And he goes, you have it there now, perfect, don't move. You're like, I can't.
Look, somebody says, this is Johnny in Laytown, as an avid tennis player and only being able to afford a wooden racket... a Prince racket was regarded as God.
Yeah.
Now, me not knowing anything about tennis, that means nothing to me, but I'm assuming it's a big deal.
I do remember a couple of my mates that played tennis back in the day, right?
Yeah.
And in fairness, they would mock quite frequently the elder lemons who had wooden rackets.
Yeah.
So I imagine when that change came around, it must have been a big deal. But you know me in tennis, so like I thought you could get a hold of one in tennis until about 3 years ago.
And there's another one for the ride-on mower. Lads, we went to school with a chap called Coleman Billings.
That's a great name.
Well, that man deserved to have a ride-on mower. He was lived in Shankill and his dad had a ride-on mower and it blew our minds. That would be, I mean, imagine just even having a garden big enough.
The first time I saw one, I remember we were down the country, me and my dad, we were in Meath, right?
Yeah.
We'd see an uncle in Meath and he got one. And, this was the 80s, man. Early 80s. And I was like...
did he live on a farm?
Yeah, he did, yeah. And I went to jump onto it. And he goes, hey, that's not a toy. And the idea that something that looked like that much fun...
Yeah.
...could not be a toy.
Shocker.
I still never forgave him over it.
Absolute
shocker.
I'll
be honest with you, when the man died many years later, I went... not a toy.
So listen,
didn't exactly spend your life spreading joy to people, did you?
Let us know. 087-188-0008. What was it for you when you were growing up? Something that you thought was a sign you'd truly made it. Movie classic from Irene Cara, Flashdance. What a feeling here at Classic Hits. It's almost 20-8. Final call on the hit bit. Magic Mike standing by. 087-188-0008. If you think you can bag yourself €1,260 in cash, that's what we have for you today. God knows what you could spend it on. You want to see some of the WhatsApps that are coming in, the things that people aspired to when they were younger, the things that people thought were a sign that you truly made it. Check these out, PJ.
Height of sophistication, Jim.
Look at this. When one of our neighbours got a paved driveway.
Oh, dear, yeah.
While we only had, well, my dad only had a space in the garden that had bits of concrete and tar that he'd gotten off random builders.
Oh, the old tarmac, yeah.
That's mad. Somebody else says that they were shown around their neighbor. And here is, my aunt brought me to her friend's house, and the friend showed us around a house, and she had an ensuite.
Would you get out of it?
And Sharon told everybody that she'd seen this bathroom and a bedroom.
Unbelievable. She could do a whittle next to the bed. Have you ever seen anything like it?
You could keep your eyes closed and everything.
Unreal. You could memorise it.
This is brilliant though, right?
Yeah. Oh, you give us.
This is probably something you'll probably... Yeah. Somebody's texted in. Let me just see if I can get a name for this person, just to give them the full credit, right? They are Keith. Text in to say that this was his height of aspiration. A tongs for turning sausages.
Oh.
Mate's ma had one. Thought it was so posh.
It is.
Didn't have to use a fork.
A tongs.
Special sausage tongs.
Not just trying to flip it over with your spatula. That's fantastic now. I'm sorry, but that is fantastic. And now I'm wondering why I haven't gone and treated myself to a set of tongs.
You see? I knew that
turkey would... sausage...
you, the sausage connoisseur.
I can't believe I haven't gone that far. Tongs, what an amazing idea.
I don't know how far back this is going from Aisling, but when telecom went and we went from a one-digit phone number to a six...
Ah, stop.
A one-digit phone number. What's your phone number? Three.
Think.
What?
I have a funny feeling. She's a fair old age, Jim. What? Nobody ever had
What's your phone number? Nine.
Nobody ever had a one-digit phone number. That's a nine. That can't be serious.
That would be amazing.
No one ever. That's hilarious.
Somebody else has texted in central heating. I can kind of believe that. You know what I mean? Central. Yeah, because like... Yeah, you know what I mean? If you got, like, it wouldn't be.
Well, super stairs were the thing. Do you remember,
and people had open fires or whatever, and you know what I mean? Like, coal fire, you got coal or logs or briquettes or something or whatever. Central heating, I can well imagine.
That the fancy gas would have been central heating.
Yeah.
I suppose that's. When you think about it now, that is hard. It's hard to believe, you know. Mm. Like, when we're looking at things like.
It sounds a bit like saying when you got electricity.
It does. Doesn't it? It does, like. You know, when you're looking at sophistication levels like a tongs to turn over a sausage, something as basic as central heating seems like it doesn't even belong in the conversation, but yeah, it does.
Somebody else been on, Dave Mack in Cork says, when went in and got my first phone, as in mobile phone, it was an 088.
Oh, I
did you ever have
them.
An 088?
Yeah, I did.
Me
yeah.
too, yeah. Says the only thing was no one else had one, so it was a bit useless.
Oh, and
did nobody to phone.
And the feckin' things, when you rang someone, it started charging your credit from the second you press send on the call.
Yeah.
So you were spending money going, answer the phone, answer the phone. And they used to use the regular batteries, do you remember?
Yeah. Somebody else saying that when they got a colour television. I don't remember black and white now.
Oh, we were in black and white forever.
Were you?
Yeah, forever. They wouldn't change. And then when they did change, the TV licence man would come around.
Right.
And my elf would be there going, no, tell them it's black and white. Because it was a black and white licence was cheaper than a colour TV licence. And I was just, is your dad in? No. And you'd see him through the window. And you go, do you have a television? Yeah. And it's colour, is it, son? No. 91 or something. Of course it was colour. Who was that? You know what I mean? 1991, yeah. Who had the black and white left at that stage? I was like, oh.
Check out this one. Look at this. This is from Kerry, right? And he's been on to say, my friend went to Trebolgan every year. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to Rush to my auntie's. Now, bear in mind, Kerry lives in Skerries.
Skerries.
She went from Skerries to Rush.
You could walk to your holidays. Walk it. You could literally walk to your holiday destination. You know what I mean?
While our mate was going off to the exotic climes of Trebolgan in Cork.
Like, imagine saying that to Tara. Now, Tara's keeping her fingers crossed that she can go to Greece in September, right?
Yeah.
And then Dr. Tony Houlihan's doing everything to ruin it. Imagine suggesting to Tara, she lives, where does she live? Valdoyle. Holt, Tara. Have you ever heard of Holt? You can walk up, sure.
Yeah.
Pack a few sandwiches and walk up there for a couple of days. You'd love it.
Actually, I sort of relate to this. Somebody says making toast on a 2-bar electric heater me and me sisters from Jason in the teleporter. Now, that's obviously, I remember him having to do that. But what I was going to say was, having an actual toaster.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm sure when we were a kid, we made toast on the grill all the time.
We got a toaster.
Right.
Because we used to do that with the two-bar radiator.
Right.
And I touched the fork off the... I touched the fork off one of the bars and blew the fuses in the house to bits.
Fantastic.
So voila! It was time to get a toaster.
It was.
Nobody, by the way, asked me if I was all right. You know.
Yeah. How's that toaster?
I can't
believe. You're breaking it.
You feckin' eat. You're the blowing the fuse. Get it. Now I have to buy a toaster. Does anyone want to know if I'm all right?
No!
7-year-old here that nearly had a heart attack.
Yeah, Blur and Country House here at Classic Hits. Reminder, after 8 o'clock, the brilliant Eric Lawler is going to be chatting to us about his latest project. First, though...
Classic Hits.
Hip it. It's a bit of a really famous hit. It's a bit, just a bit from a classic hit. But what hit is it?
The hit bit is worth 1,260 quid. It sounds like this. And we are, wah, we'd be mad to give it to you.
We would be mad to give it to you.
I kind of like saying that.
I love it.
Want to give it to you. So it's going to be Joan first playing this morning. How are you, Joan?
How you doing, lads? How are you?
Oh, good, Joan. Thank you for asking. What's your story today? What are you up to, work, rest, or play?
Just getting ready for the day. Just going over to see my mum in the nursing home.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Oh, thankfully, so the restrictions have changed now. It must be good to be able to do a visit now again.
Oh, it is, yeah. Once a week, 20 minutes.
That's it, yeah, once a week.
20 minutes, is that it, yeah?
That's better than nothing.
No, absolutely.
True.
That's
yeah,
the way to look at it, Joan.
Definitely.
Fair play to you.
Right, so, Joan, we would love to give you a few quid this morning, 1,260 quid. What do you think?
Is it Van Morrison, Jackie Wilson says...
That's the one I was going to ask
you. That's the one, yeah, yeah. Jackie Wilson said, Michael.
Unfortunately, Joan, you are wrong. Have I told you lately that all the guesses are on Classic Hits?
Oh, my God.
Have I said that?
I think you may have mentioned it.
You might have mentioned it. You know you have.
He's so delightful, isn't he?
I tell you.
He
was serenading you there, Joan. I didn't know where he was going with that for a minute, to be perfectly honest with you. But anyway, listen, regards to your mum, Joan. Take care of yourself. Cheers.
Bye. See you, Joan. Bye. Right, Mick is waiting patiently there. Hiya, Mick.
Not so bad, yourself?
Not so bad, Mick. What's your plans for the day ahead?
Oh, work.
Are you out on the road?
I am on the road, yeah. I'm a courier.
Oh, right, you're in a van or a truck, or what are you doing? Are you flying past in a helmet?
A van.
Right, so, listen, Mick, we'd love to give you a few quid this morning, 1,260 quid. What do you think?
I think it's meatloaf. I would do anything for love.
Right. Yeah, well, where's he going to take this?
The big man, Michael.
Now, Mick, you know, I wouldn't lie to you, and that's a fact. It's wrong, unfortunately. Wrongly,
okay.
I would say no.
Okay.
I wouldn't lie to you, and that's a fact. And then he says, it's the wrong lyrics, I know.
Yeah, would you not have just gone for, I wouldn't lie to you, and that's the truth?
Oh, well, is that what
maybe
he says?
Next time.
Yeah.
No, is it not, I would lie to you?
Oh, sorry, yeah, I'd lie to you, and that's the, no. What the hell is the lyric?
I'd lie for you, and that's a fact.
Yeah, but I wouldn't lie for Mick.
Mick, have you any idea what we're talking about at all? No.
No, absolutely.
Great.
Not.
Thank God for that. I'm not the only one then. Thanks for that, Mick. Good luck.
See you, Mick.
Have a nice day, lad.
Cheers, buddy. Take care.
Safe to say Mick is out of here like a bat out of hell.
I'd do anything for a pun, lads.
Yeah. But I wouldn't do that. Anyway. There you go. I've no idea where we were going. I'm going to have to look up the lyrics now. You have me confused over that one.
Yeah, I was a bit confused myself, I'll be honest with you.
Listen, Niall Boylan, though, for sure, is going to give you the chance to win the cash again. 12:45 today, you can have another bash at the hit bit. For us, though, the brilliant Eric Lawler on the way after.
Yay,
looking forward to that.
Our mate and
another man who
show.
Doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah, the power of love from Huey Lewis and the News here at Classic Hits. Thank you for waking up happy with PJ and Jim on this Tuesday, 30th of June, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. Thanks for hanging out with us, folks. A breakfast table quiz on the way. Great break to Drumoland. The inn at Drumoland up for grabs. Only 5 to beat on that. We'll give you details of that very shortly. But coming up this Sunday, okay, this Sunday evening, 10:35 on RTE1, there is a brand spanking new comedy hitting the screens. It's called Socially Distant, and it is the first comedy that has ever been. Well, let's face it, in fairness, we've only ever had to deal with this kind of environment once in our lives.
Yeah, that's
true. So to
be
fair, to say it's the first, but nonetheless, it is the first Irish comedy all about the lockdown. And among the whole kind of plethora of stars, there is one star that shines brighter than any other.
Yes, because he's our mate.
Because he's our star.
That's true. How are you getting on, Eric Lawler?
Hey!
One Eric Lawler! There's only one Eric Lawler!
Oh, what's the crack, Eric?
I have to pull Jim up there now. There was a great comedy series made through the Spanish flu.
Oh, really?
Oh, was that? Yeah.
Right, yeah. Sorry about that. I missed that one. But that was on Netflix, wasn't it?
Yes, no. It did make past the cutting room floor, so ours technically is the first one ever made through a pandemic. So
brilliant.
Yeah, so that's our title.
Listen, Eric, tell us how you made it, because obviously the whole reason we've spoken about on the show when we've been talking about stuff on the television and movie-wise and everything as well, that obviously production was massively impacted because social distancing protocols, all that sort of stuff. So how did you get this made?
Well, it was bizarre, Jim, because it was about a week into lockdown. You know, at the start of lockdown, it was a real novelty factor, wasn't it? It was a real, oh, this is great. It was a bit weird bringing the bins out. It was a real rush. It was like, oh, my God. and then obviously, the reality and the boredom kind of kicked in. You're kind of going, oh, my God, I think this could be here for a while. And then I received a script from James Carter. He said, look, I'm after writing this. He said he wrote it in a day. And he said, I'd love you to be in it. I had a read through. He told me which character he wanted me for. Bizarrely enough, a character called Eric.
No way.
So basically he said, look, because of lockdowns, we all have to shoot our own scenes. But the whole premise is a family communicating via the means of WhatsApp video and Zoom and all that kind of stuff, which everybody was doing for the whole lockdown. So he sent me a storyboard. He sent me a list of image shots, the way it should be shooting the shot. So I became the cameraman, my own makeup artist, my own costume department, my own lighting, my own sound.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing the makeup job.
This should be amazing. Yeah. It must be. It's like that scene from Pennywise. He'll end up looking like.
So what's the loose sort of story then behind it, or how much of it can you tell us about, like?
To give you a little idea, it's a family, right? The Murphys are called, and they're a fairly dysfunctional, I suppose, family. But they stay in touch via a WhatsApp family group, and the reason it's set up is because our aunt Auntie Bree is turning 70, and one of the lads who sets up the WhatsApp group says, "Come on, lads, we should do something special for Auntie Bree," and that's where it starts from.
Right,
and then we start. There's a hint of, oh, did you hear about that pandemic, that virus out in China? And it's kind of dismissed, you know, like everybody.
In true Irish fashion, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. It would be grand to be.
I'd never catch on here.
Over. Yeah.
Well, my character is very much that way. He's going, sure, it'll blow over. It'll only be here for a while. You can't stop the crack and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know. but there's the. Yeah, and then obviously the virus, you see the family group reacting to the virus being here, and then it starts to affect our jobs, it starts to affect our own mental health, and I think the whole message of it all is that out of the madness and badness, that there is a lot of good out there as well, and people start to, you know, do really nice things for other people and be kind to other people. And that's the kind of overriding message. Like, we're all in this together kind of thing. Like, you know, very funny.
Eric,
there is a nice message in it.
Is it a one-off? Is it just one episode, or is it a number of episodes?
It's just the one episode. I know a lot. I've been off social media now for about 3 weeks or so. I've just been taking a break for myself. And a lot of people I was getting messages saying, we saw the ad on the TV, and the announcer keeps saying, a brand new comedy series.
Yeah.
And we're going, jeez, we've only done one episode. We better start shooting next week to get ready for the following Sunday. But it's just a one-off. It's a one-off. I think James is looking at maybe possibly writing a series.
A follow-up to it, Jay, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, it all depends, I suppose, on the reaction it gets next Sunday. So what I'm expecting from you guys next Monday morning is to come in and go, oh my God, my life has been changed. Have you seen that show last night?
Yeah.
All right?
Well, we do that about everything that you're in, to be honest with you. Every time you used to appear in Fair City, we'd come in and do that as well.
Every day, yeah. We used to have our Eric Lawler after 8 Link, yeah.
In fact, we have a feature on the show about how good was Eric now. It's incredible.
So come here, Eric, with this show that you're making, how was your own lockdown experience? Like, when you're making this, you're actually locked into the house at the same time. So how did that work for you?
It was brilliant because, as I said, at the start of the lockdown, it was a novelty, and then it descended into a bit scary and a bit boring and monotonous. And to have this to do, it took us a few weeks to do, you know, and to have something to focus on was brilliant. It took me mind off everything else. I could go off, I could sit in the car, I think my neighbours thought I was having a breakdown because I'd be sitting in the car talking to the camera. And I'd get out of the car and then I'd get back in the car and I'd do the shot 3 or 4 different times and they were looking at, I think they were going, geez, the lockdown's gotten to Eric really bad in here, isn't it?
Oh jeez, the lack of gigs isn't doing him well now.
He's really suffering, isn't he?
And there's another scene where I had to walk down the street with a pile of parcels and I had to do that shot about 7 or 8 times with holding the camera in my hand as well, and the neighbours were going, what is going on here, like, is he alright? But I had to eventually explain to them, I said, look, it's a script I'm shooting, I'm not having a breakdown.
That's incredible.
I'll tell you something. You're making a TV show on your phone, yeah. Okay, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He thinks he's on the telly.
Yeah, he
don't say that.
Yeah, poor fella.
Poor lad. But
of
like, I tell
you,
I'm genuinely looking forward to seeing how this is kind of shot and everything and how it's put together. Because I assume you submitted all the footage and then somebody else chopped it all up into the bits that it has to go into or whatever. And I am genuinely, like, for you, as you say, you having to do basically not just the acting, but the actual technical stuff to it as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's full credit to James Connor, who, as I said, wrote and directed this remotely. So basically, like, he'd send us in the screenshots, you know, this is the way I'd like to see the frame of the picture, and I'd send him 4 or 5 different options, and he'd go, right, I like that one there, or he'd go, no, Eric, all rubbish, do them again, or, you know, that's the way we worked. So there was, 6 or 7 of us all submitting stuff to him, so he collated it all, chopped it all together, and we saw the result, and we were, like, blown away by it, going, oh my God, it works, it looks great, it's really, really funny, it's really authentic, and, yeah, I really do hope people enjoy it now next Sunday night. It's on straight after the Young Offenders on Sunday night, would you believe, on RT1.
Is that on again?
So basically, similar to real life, it's a bit like PJ is your warm-up act. It's a bit like that. That's great, that is.
I wish.
Eric, I have to say, this sounds like phase one. If there is a series, you'd have to have phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four. You have to do all the phases of this show, and then actually watch you get a haircut and eat a fish and chips and have your first fizzy drink. And
there's a whole career in this, Eric.
Yeah.
I know. The slow decline of Eric Lawler's mental health.
Listen, the other thing, just to remind people again, right, the important time, it's this Sunday, right, Sunday 5th of July, 10:35 on RTE1. That's when you can get it. Socially distant is what it's called. Make a note of that.
Just after Young Offenders, he says. Just after Young Offenders.
Basically, there's a wishy-washy warm-up act, and then socially distant is on. But come here, listen, the other thing is, we regularly comment on this show about just how hard working you are under normal circumstances. You literally, you'd gig anywhere.
Yeah.
So, like, what's been going on away from obviously shooting this, which has been a big chunk of it? Have you been doing any of this kind of Zoom gigs thing? Or
I've done a couple of online gigs, Jim, definitely, and you know,
they're crap, aren't they?
Yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same. But come here, look. Your beggars can't be choosers in these strange times, you know. So, like, if a bit of work comes my way, I'm more than happy to try chance my arm at it. I really do miss being out there performing in front of people, actual people, and not looking into a phone. But, you know, come here, look, the whole country's in the same boat. I know there's a sense of normality now. People are going back and it's great.
Sign of you getting back on a stage, Anthony? Is there even talk about it at any stage in the next...
Well, I know the Laughter Lounge are reopening on the 14th and 15th of August, and they're having, like, a relaunch, if you know what I mean. So they booked me for that weekend. That's the next kind of actual gig I know I'm doing.
Right.
But other than that, I don't know. Is there any jobs going in the radio station there, lad?
Yeah,
tell you, if you heard this show every morning, you'd know that sooner or later they're getting rid of us, buddy. I tell you, that's nailed on. That's nailed on.
Keep doing what you do, lad.
It is mad though, isn't it? Because it's the one industry there's literally no talk at all of coming back. You know, the live shows. There's no one's even talking about it. So we're like, everyone's saying we're moving into the final phase. Way, 3 more weeks, we're back to normal. And everyone else, everyone that does what you do is going, Jesus, what are we going to do?
No, genuinely, it's a real sense of concern, I suppose, at the moment, because you know it's my livelihood. And at the moment, I can't see anything happening that will sustain, you know, my actual living over the next few months. So,
and you can't even go to a football match to take your mind off.
Beloved Bose in action.
Know.
Yes,
massive Bose withdrawals,
And the weird thing about it is, the return of comedy, live comedy, would actually be one of the things that I think people would be most into seeing.
Definitely,
it would be. That's the exact kind of pickup that people would. Would kind of love to get back to.
Well, they only announced the Laughter Lounge relaunch there last week, and within a day, both nights were sold out.
Yeah, well,
so
believe
there is an appetite there for sure. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Eric, always a pleasure, man. Socially distant, 10:35 this Sunday, 5th of July, RTE One, starring the brilliant Eric Lawler.
A few other
wishy-washy people in it as well, but he's the main star. The show before it, a bit of a warm-up. It's not really very good, but anyway, it'll just get you in the sort of the mood for socially distant. I tell you, I think it's going to get a huge reaction simply because of the nature of, you know,
the nature.
I'm sure it's a very funny show. I think people will be genuinely curious to see how it was put together.
If anything, it's topical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Very
current. And I think and there will be a curiosity to see how it's put together. And I think people are going to be will be impressed with how well it's put together.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Listen, man, best of luck with it. I hope the live comedy gets back in action very soon. It'll be great to see you back on the stage again soon. So listen, stay safe,
and
man.
And also, if anyone has any jobs out there, give me a shout. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, yeah. Do you do a bit of gardening, do you?
I'll do anything.
Eric Lawler, thanks a million, buddy.
See you later, boss. Thanks
again.
Talk to
you, man. Good luck. Cheers, buddy. There you go. That's 10:35 RTE One this coming Sunday. Socially distant. Yeah, Livin' La Vida Loca from Ricky Martin here at Classic Hits. Last call for the breakfast table quiz. Only 5 to beat, remember, and you could be taking the family away for a fabulous break at the Inn at Dromoland. So 087-188-0008. Just a couple of minutes if you want to get involved in the old breakfast table quiz.
Yeah, he'll wait to hear this. So I know we go on a little bit and we give millennials a hard time and stuff, but you know what I mean? We only do it because Mike is here and it's great crack having a pop.
Does he qualify as a millennial?
Well, what age is Mike now? 30, what age?
5, is it?
Oh.
37.
Oh, no, he
doesn't. 30, oh my God, he's so...
I'm ready.
We should probably get ourselves somebody new with our finger on the pulse.
We need a younger Aegis.
I think we're going to have to trade him in for a new model, you know.
I always thought he did. Apparently 18 to 34 now is what...
That's what a millennial is.
It depends who you ask. That's what's very annoying about this. It depends who you ask. Do you know something? Ask me again. Is Mike a millennial?
Is he a millennial?
Yeah.
Right.
So now we know that...
Are we?
Oh, Jim, will you stop it? We've got the big...
Say what you are. You're last millennium.
Oh my God, we're Generation X. We're proper whoppers is what we are. But now they're having to go with them again. So they're saying that an equivalent of 633 meals a year get thrown in the bin by millennials, right? Because they don't know how to reheat food. They don't know how to do it. They get leftovers and they don't know what to do with it. They can't handle the pressure of reheating food. They know how to get to a certain level with food. You know, you get this and you make it and this, that, you know. But they don't know how to deal with the pressure of reheating food, so they have to throw it into the bin. That's what they're saying.
Just reheating it?
Yes. So researchers found that the amount of food millennials confess to throwing away, it adds up to about 1,700 pounds, right? Which is a lot of food, right?
Mm.
And they asked, well, what's this all about? When they throw it away rather than reheat it, because apparently they'd rather let good food go to waste than research how to do the whole warming up and thing. They don't know what to do.
Like, as in, operate a microwave or something, or a or an oven,
you know,
or
way,
whatever. Or
you know the way you'd buy a sausage roll or something like that? You know the way you like a sausage? I had a wonderful sausage roll.
Who doesn't like a sausage roll?
On Sunday, right? And you bring, you can't put that in the microwave. You can put it in the microwave, but it gets all soft and
the
gammy.
The pastry stuff goes a bit,
so you have to sort of oven. You have to reheat it in the oven and I'll get it right. You know, apparently what I just said now is like algebra to a cat. When you're talking to a certain generation, they're not into it.
Mike, are you responsible for this now? Are you chucking perfectly good food into the bin because you can't use your oven or your microwave?
I mean, I'll be honest. I'm very pernickety about food and food that's already been cooked and all that. Pre-lockdown, it was a bit wasteful,
Right.
Now, because for a period of time I was too afraid to go to the shop.
You've embraced it, haven't you?
Yeah. I've embraced how to reheat stuff and waste not, want not, yes.
Right, well,
excellent.
Well, why I have you
so
then?
He's not a millennial anymore.
Not anymore.
He's moved on.
He's moved on. He's gotten older. He's grown up. Now, but now I have you. Here's some of the food that gets thrown out with confusion to heating it up, right?
Right.
So, plates of bolognese, chicken tikka masalas, bangers and mash. People don't think there's something weird about a reheated potato or a sausage. I'm not sure about that one. And a fish and chips. People feel weird about how to reheat a fish and chips and keep it sort of edible.
A fish and chips like that, like as in a fish that's in batter?
I guess, suppose so. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really understand that one. Now, look, he's at it now. You have him at it now.
I'd be curious about where it, I'd be curious about how to go about that one now.
The fish and the sausage now.
I mean, if it needs just a gentle 30 seconds in the microwave or something, that's all right. But
it goes
a bit
soggy.
It would go a bit soggy, I'd imagine. The batter might be a bit unusual. What
PJ over there?
He did it with a bin, for God's sake. He did it with a bin.
Okay, right. I'm the other end. Right, fair enough. I'm the other extreme.
This man is like, you know, when was that out of date? I think it was 1957.
Okay.
It's grand.
Right.
It's grand.
Can I once again bring this up? The date on food means literally nothing, right? It means literally nothing. It's an arbitrary, as if anything goes off on midnight on a certain
date.
Well,
that's not true, PJ, for some foods.
Like what?
Coleslaw.
Rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
What a choice. Coleslaw. Literally PJ's anti-Christ.
That's disgusting. Yeah, have a sniff and a feel of food and you know if it's gone off. This date on a packet is... That's the most L1 thing I've ever... No, it's not. That's
so
the L1
stuff. So the man who ate stuff out of a lifeboat and it was about 8 years old or something...
Look, you can get to, and you get to this when you get like me, you get to a stage where you know food will might make your stomach rumble, but it won't make you sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Grant, okay, the chicken could be better.
It's like that Homer Simpson episode, you know, where he kept eating the sandwich. Yeah. That'd be PJ. No, just one more bite.
I'd be like, I'm after heating it up in the microwave instead of the oven.
Breakfast table quiz.
It's time for the breakfast table quiz. Win the best prize out there is.
The breakfast table quiz.
Yeah, we want to send you to the perfect family staycation destination. It is the Inn at Dromoland in County Clare, a two-night family stay along with brekkie each morning and a three-course evening meal. And actually, speaking of the food element of it, PJ, you'll love this. Look at this. They've all these all-new, all-inclusive three- and five-night family staycation packages, right? So apart from all of the facilities, your swimming and your crazy golf and your foot golf and tennis and the play-in adventure centre and all that, you get stuff like this. Right, so breakfast, dinner, grand, picnics, pizza nights, snack packs, and then credit vouchers so you can go and spend on food and drink in the Shenanigans Gastro Pub and Deerfields Restaurant.
You know,
food galore, PJ.
I know, I'm actually really happy with the way you took that. I was sure when you said this food would be for you, PJ, I thought you were genuinely going to say they let you eat out of the bin at the end of each night. Thankfully, that's not the way it went. So five is the score to beat in the breakfast table quiz, which is, that's lower.
Ah, doable, yeah.
So Mark is going to play this morning. Morning, Mark.
How are you, lads? How are things?
Oh, good, Mark. What's your story today?
Oh, trying to fix the satellite on my television. Oh. That's what I'm trying to do.
My God, I feel your pain.
Mark, I got a text from Jim McCabe over the weekend, and you want to see it. It was one of those weekends. He was there, the car is broken, and he was telling me all the things that went wrong. And as he was texting, he lost the Sky coverage, so he couldn't watch the football anymore. He's like, oh, James, he's going to use some humour.
he'll be doing an extra in the afternoon, so.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you. I had to, unfortunately, call the man.
You had to get the man in. Oh, Jesus.
Having no ability myself, but
Mark,
anyway.
How are you about going up to gyms when you're finished there in your house yourself?
Exactly.
Not good now at all, you know. It's a place I've avoided.
It's a nightmare, isn't it, that when the TV goes, it's the one thing you think you can rely on. It's so annoying.
Yeah. You know, yeah, and you're Googling all kinds of answers and everything else, you know.
Yeah.
All solutions, should I say.
Listen, I tell you what you need is a breakaway from it all, Mark.
It is,
I think
Mark.
So.
That's the plan for you. All you need to do, well, for the moment at least, is beat this score of 5. Hopefully you can get a lot more that might keep you in the running right up till the very end. But are you good to go?
Good to go, yeah.
Right, best of luck. 60 seconds on the clock. Here we go.
In what decade did Mother Teresa die?
The 90s.
Yeah, white smoke is sent out of the Vatican to signify what?
A new pope.
Complete the title of this 1994 Bruce Springsteen single, The Streets of Where?
Philadelphia.
The word spud is a slang term for what vegetable?
Potato.
The all-male celebration traditionally held before a wedding is known as what?
Pass.
The Stag Night. In the New Testament, what are the accounts of the life and teachings of Jesus Christ called?
Scrolls of Jesus.
The Gospels. What did the Jackson 5 change their name to in 1976?
Jackson 4.
Yeah, no, to Jackson's, you got it right. What mode of transport was a penny farthing?
A bicycle.
In a bullfight, what M is the official term for a man who faces the bull?
Matador.
In what year was the euro currency first introduced?
2002.
1999, the Earth takes 1 year to orbit what astronomical body?
The sun.
The traditional pirate flag featuring a skull and crossbones is better known by what name?
Jolly Roger.
That's
That'll do you nicely.
I'm saying you got the Jackson's ones right because I cut you off just in time, but your answer was priceless to Jackson 4, I have to say.
That's fantastic. Right, so the Jackson's are okay. You're saying yes to the Jackson's.
Well, he said it was the Jackson 5 changed
that's
it into
to
the
say.
Jackson's, and he went on, but he did say the Jackson's instead of the Jackson's 4, yeah.
Right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 correct answers.
Not bad, Mark.
Not bad at all.
You never know. It could be good enough. We've had winning scores in that neck of the woods,
we
Mark.
Yeah, we'll see.
Listen, thanks a million for playing.
Cheers, lads.
Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Best of luck with the TV, Mark.
Absolutely. Right, so it's a score of 9 is now the new bar. That's what's been set. If you think you can beat 9 and you fancy taking the family away for 2-night stay with brekkie each morning and that 3-course delicious evening meal, all at the Inn at Drumoland in County Clare. You can check out all they have to offer at theinnatdrumoland.ie. 9 is the score to beat.